This is, of course, the closing market report for Friday afternoon. As usual, we're on the phone line today with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in beautiful Atchison, Kansas, looking out over the Missouri River. Thanks, Mike, for taking the time to be with us today and for going to Iowa, to Estherville, and to Everly this week with me to talk to the folks at the appreciation dinner for the Andersons.
It was a great meeting. It was a great panel. You did a wonderful job at the both meetings, Todd. Very nice. Nicely done, and made a lot of nice new contacts out there that really helped kind of seal the picture of the Western Corn Belt versus the Eastern Corn Belt. Driving out there, it was hard for me to envision that Iowa would be as bad as Kansas and Missouri in terms of good to excellent conditions of only 39%, because all three states on Tuesday's report for the corn rating were at 39%. But I think, obviously, there's some good areas of Iowa that have gotten rains. I drove through some of those areas along the Iowa-Nebraska border north of Council Bluffs, and, you know, you've got some really nice irrigated ground, plus they've been blessed with some rains over there. But as I headed east, it really did look a lot more like Missouri and Kansas crops, a lot more stressed, and not bad yields per se, but I don't think much better than average. And although some people at lunch were talking about crop insurance, potential payouts, and talking about silage being chopped and talking about pretty substantial holes in their crops, especially the guys that I talk with from southern Minnesota. So wonderful job doing it, and thanks for asking, because it really helped with the analysis.
Well, what did it help you find out about the marketplace? What was your takeaway from Iowa, from conversations with the producers, and from what you saw?
Well, I don't think those people out there got clipped as bad by the drought last year, so they probably have a little bit more corn they're sitting on. But having said that, I don't think they have any intention. I would guess you probably agree with this, too, because you probably heard the same thing that I heard when we were talking on the sidelines. They're probably very unwilling to sell corn at these price levels, because I think the vast majority felt like that their crop, corn crop, had been hurt, and especially their bean crop had been hurt. So I think they're probably going to hold out for higher prices and use the bins. And I think the other thing that I felt going home yesterday afternoon, I realized more combines were moving around. I realized as I came through Missouri south of Council Bluffs that the corn was really getting close to being shelled, and guys were telling me at the meeting that they would probably hear of some people running next week in Iowa. And when I got back here on the phones, some Illinois guys were telling me they may try and run over by Lincoln. Some guys were telling me in Kentucky they would be trying to run. I think this flash drought turned the crop on faster and probably explains a lot of why the corn market in the short term here fell to pieces this week, instead of rallying on the weather and instead of rallying on news that China may be an importer for as much as 20 to 30 million tons of corn in the not-too-distant future. So I think this flash drought actually sped up the process of shelling corn, and that's why your basis got hit pretty good.
That and potentially the September 15th early ship dates, I suppose.
Yes, for sure, especially in areas that will probably have extra corn that they have to get rid of and sell off the combine so that they have storage space for the rest of it. But I think this is one of the big features going into USDA's report, because I went back and looked at the August report versus the July report and looked at the September report versus the August report. There's only one year that I could find in the last 10, and I stopped at 10 because of genetics, but there's only one year in the last 10 that I could find that the Iowa good to excellent ratings were down below 40% and even down below 55%. And that was 2003. And in 2003, we had good to excellent conditions of 36% in Iowa, 46% in the nation at the time of the September crop report. That September crop report showed a yield of 138.5. The final yield in 03 was 142.2. So I do think there's a lot of information that we're going to get here that's going to be really important next week, not just on the supply, but the demand side, too.
Have you tallied your analysis for next week? What are your predictions?
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with the 153 yield for right now because of what I've seen in the corn. I did come down in the beans to 41.5 I think 41.4.
Right.
That puts me at a 1.5 carryover right now, but if my demand projections are correct, heading into the end of the middle of the marketing year, I think we could be as low as $1.3 billion. One big thing I think that the USDA and some of the demand bears in the market right now are focusing on is ethanol, and that number can come down. I don't disagree with that, but the export number is very low at 1225. In 11 and 12, that crop year, we did 1.5 billion bushels, and that was with pretty lofty prices. So we're about a dollar plus lower in the cash market. I think we could do at least 1.5 billion bushels of exports this next marketing year, especially given we don't have as much feed wheat. So I think this is one of the things where maybe I won't get those numbers on next Thursday, but I think as the wheat has started to show a much better demand pace, I think the corn will later on, too.
So you're pegging everything on usage as much as anything. Let me ask you another question, and I learned this from you over the last 2 days while we were in Iowa. But what's the trade at this point looking at for a carryout? Are they at 1.7, 1.8?
Yeah, 460 on my model would suggest a 1.8 carryover. And 1365, 1375 on Novenes would probably put you right around a 175 carryover. So I think the trade is right with the Newswire crop estimates right now, because I think we came in at 1.75, 1.8 area. And, you know, I think that's part of the reason, too, with along with the technicals, that they didn't want to push in any more weather premium. It was so funny because yesterday one of the big Newswires put out on the closing grain market updates that corn futures fall to a three-week low on weather. And, you know, what I've been hearing this past 2 weeks is that corn's already made. It doesn't matter if it rains. It doesn't matter if it stays dry. But all of a sudden, Chicago started to see that maybe weather does matter.
So if we get to a 1.5 carryout, which I think would be safe for your assumptions, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then where do we take, I don't know, July corn, I guess?
Well, I think Dease corn would probably have a good chance of getting back to 570 if we were able to do that before the Dease expiration. As far as July corn, it's
all right. Well, let's say with the Dease, that's okay. A good enough number. 570. Right. That's a jump and a half.
Yeah, it's a big jump, and it goes back to one of the major things about the analysis right now is that if the United States is going to grow a bigger crop, and the USDA thinks the world's going to grow a bigger crop, they're one and the same. You can't get a bigger world-ending stocks number without the U.S. growing a bigger world-ending stocks number. And I really don't think that trade has priced that in and respected the price of cash corn and respected the price of the futures market. Just a small move in the consumption to the upside on the U.S. side will impact more dramatically the global price. And I think this is where I know Argentina can plant a nice crop. I know Brazil can plant a nice crop. But it goes back to that crop's not in the bin yet. So I think this is where you can have a substantial move up. And one of the things that you pulled out of me during the road trip, and I was appreciative of it, is that one of the big features to this market has been the lack of investment, the lack of funds buying into the wheat and in the corn. That goes back to the negative mindset since the commodity super cycle ended. The emerging markets have been sold. The dollar has been bought. The U.S. equities have been bought. I think there's a rotation back out of that. I think we're starting to see that already. The Brazilian real U.S. dollar cross actually looks like now a double bottom, so that the Brazilian real could probably gain technically on the U.S. dollar. So I think these emerging markets may actually come back around, and with that, the commodity sentiment, too, in the feed grains, as long as Syria and the Middle East don't get overheated.
So your thought process is that the funds will begin to buy again?
Yes, that the fundamentals will overshoot to that the price will overshoot to the upside like it has done the last 5 years, and it will overshoot to the downside like it has the last 5 years. That's the problem with the market for the producer. You and I and Jackie and Sue and Elaine probably heard, I would guess between us all maybe six or eight people say $7 corn was the worst thing for me. And, you know, it's really interesting. The producer gets it. He doesn't want that heavy, heavy price that's real high that brings in all the world supply and the world production. I think the opposite is true as well, as we will take out production as well if we go too low.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Have a great weekend, sir.
Hey, you too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting. Joins us from his Atchison, Kansas office.